The time. I'm William Cooper. Good afternoon or good evening, ladies and gentlemen, depending upon, of course, where you're at, West Coast or East Coast. First thing I want to get out of the way here is we now have a website. That's right, on the World Wide Web. You know, the www dot stuff that you hear all the time. I'm going to give you the address. We just got a call just a few minutes before going on the air, and to tell you the truth, I have not seen it yet. So if you go into the website during this broadcast, you will see it before I do. I wished I could see it right now, but I cannot, at least for another 2 hours. So here it is. This is the website, http://. www.telepath.com/believer. That's http://www.telepath.com/believer. One more time, http://www.telepath.com/believer. Okay, so you can zip in there and take a look and see what you see. And later on this afternoon, when I get off the radio, I'll go in there and see what you saw. It should be fun. I hear that it's really nice, and I can't wait to see it. So, folks, while you're doing that, we'll be doing this. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Thank you. listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're on for 2 hours. It should be the Hours of the Time. But since we come into each hour as a new hour, we'll keep it as the Hour of the Time. Does that make sense to anybody? I hope so. I hope it makes sense, because it's not good to change the name of a broadcast in midstream. The music you just heard is a little bit on the spiritual, as they call it, side. Maybe a little mysterious. Do you think? You think you could say that it is intriguing? Does it appeal to some part of you that you wish you could dig down and really find? They call music, or I should say I call music, that affects people in that manner, Jungian, are symbolic. It is functioning in an archetypical way, which means that it strikes a chord within each human being usually without fail. Those of you who have studied psychology and have studied Jung and his system of archetypes, which are supposed to be, so he says, common to all people, even though they may speak another language or live on some island somewhere and has never had contact with the rest of the world. And so the secret societies say that their method of symbolism, their secret or esoteric language, functions in much the same way. Ladies and gentlemen, recently you have noticed a proliferation of symbols appearing on the landscape all across the United States that, to the average person, are what those adepts within the secret societies call the profane, that's us folks, should not be there, or really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, what is a huge, gigantic pyramid doing in Memphis, Tennessee? Or in Las Vegas, Nevada? Are cropping up as capstones on the tops of buildings all across America. Skyscrapers. Why is it that in parks and in industrial complexes and on the lawns of great corporations, all of a sudden are springing up obelisks? And if you drive through great cities like Atlanta, Georgia, the proliferation of the symbology of the ancient mystery religion of Babylon is staggering. Where has it all come from? What is going on? What is this all about? Did all of a sudden everybody develop a great penchant for Egyptology? I don't think so. In fact, I know so. They have not. It is the manifestation of the public unveiling of the people who belong to the mysteries, the hidden fraternity, what they call the Brotherhood of Man, the Order, the Illuminati, as they watch the culmination of the progression of their work through the centuries, as the New World Order struggles to be born. Wow, did I just say all of that? Where did all of that come from? It comes from years of study, ladies and gentlemen, years and years of research. You see, there was a time that I didn't know anything any more than most of you listening. I didn't know what was happening to this country or to the world. I didn't know who was doing it. I didn't know how they were doing it. When I went to a cemetery and saw that a full one-third of the gravestones were obelisks, capped with a stone version of the eternal flame, I had never paid it a thought. I thought maybe this was in the tombstone maker's showroom, you know, that you could just scroll through and, hey, that looks nice. Let's put that on Uncle John's grave. I didn't understand that it doesn't appear on the grave of just anybody, and it doesn't just appear in the stone maker's showroom. These things, for the most part, are special ordered for the adepts, the priests of the mystery religion, of the brotherhood, of the fellow travelers of the world, who are engaged in the, quote, great work, end quote. Tonight I'm going to acquaint you with the identity and the source of most of this stuff. Where does it come from? It comes from the symbology, the mystical language, the esoteric teachings of an ancient religion that has been passed down from father to son and mother to daughter throughout the ages, throughout the millennia, all working toward one common goal. And they are pretty near the completion of that goal, which is to establish what they call a benevolent dictatorship, ruled, so the public will think, by a Messiah, which will be presented to them, to take the public credit and the public ire. But that person will just be a puppet controlled from the shadows by a, quote, council of wise men, end quote, who will administer the most terrible justice, they call it, that the world has ever known, so that their rule will never be challenged. They're in the process of creating a one-world totalitarian socialist state. The regions of the world that you have heard Jackie Petru talk so much about will become the states of this world government. The states as you know them now in countries will disappear. Borders will come down. And that's happening through such things as NAFTA and GATT and a lot of other treaties and international agreements of which you know nothing about. They will control all people and all property, all transactions, all intercourse of every kind, all communications, all knowledge. They will rewrite history. And anyone who challenges their rule, once that rule is set in stone, will just simply disappear from the face of the earth. Communism sprang out of this brotherhood, was invented by the brotherhood. One of the manifestations of this order was the old Knights Templar, which was, ladies and gentlemen, communism. The symbol of the Knights Templar were two knights riding on one horse. You see, when an initiate joined the Templars, had to give up all worldly possessions to the order. He contributed according to his ability, and he received according to his need. Nothing has changed. The Knights Templars became the world's first international bankers. And that's why the King of France turned against them. He owed them so much money, he couldn't pay it back. So his answer was to destroy them. in the act of attempting to destroy him, them, which he was not able to do, he made them extremely angry, and they went underground and established a system of lodges, which ultimately became the modern fraternal order known as Freemasonry, and many others. It matters not what you call them or what apparent occupation they seem to be engaged in. All of these different so-called fraternal orders are interlocked and are virtually the same order at the highest degrees of initiation. They are what is known as the Illuminati, or the Illumined Ones, the Adepts, the Thousand Points of Light. That wasn't something George Bush or his speechwriters just pulled from out of the ether, ladies and gentlemen. These people don't go about bandying such terms. They have meaning. George Bush was initiated into the order in the crypt, the skull and bones, the Russell Trust at Yale University, when he was suffered a symbolic death, placed in a coffin, naked, with a cord tied around his genitalia, representing the separation from the carnal world, and then was raised with the grip of the lion's paw and given a new name. George Bush spent most of his life as a Central Intelligence Agency operative, was heavily involved in the invasion of the Bay of Pigs and the John F. Kennedy assassination. It was George Herbert Walker Bush who set up the drug smuggling operations into this country when he was president and CEO of Zapata Oil, where the drugs were brought in on shrimp boats and fishing boats to the offshore oil platforms, and from there brought to the mainland of the United States of America by crew boats and helicopters, where they were not subjected to customs or law enforcement inspections of any kind. That was just the beginning. Communism, ladies and gentlemen, has been a vital factor in American politics since the very birth of our republic. In the early days, communism was called Illuminism. They were called Jacobins. It was promoted and propagandized by a secret conspiratorial organization that was named the Order of Illuminati. And this is not conjecture, it is historical fact. It was dedicated professedly to bringing about a new social order, our New Deal. But actually, ladies and gentlemen, its purpose was to overthrow governments throughout the world by revolution and to gain for its bosses worldwide dictatorship, one world, with everyone and everything under the control of the order. And you can sit back and yell conspiracy theorist all you want to. It is the nature of man to conspire. It is the nature of organizations to conspire. The president and the White House just recently acknowledged this as they issued a press release accusing the right wing of conspiring in the press against the president. President William Jefferson Clinton is a conspiracy theorist by his own definition now. The left, socialist liberals who have been calling us conspiracy theorists for all this time are now conspiracy theorists themselves. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, conspiracy is a part of all political processes, all organizations and agendas that have ever existed upon the face of this earth. Many of you conspire with your fellow workers against other fellow workers in order that you get promotions above and ahead of them, or bonuses, or recognition, or the best real estate deal. Conspiracy is a part of life. It is a fact, whether you like it or not. And if you have a dictionary, I suggest that you look up the word conspiracy, look up the word theory, and then begin to screw your head on straight and live in the real world. Because this conspiracy that I am talking about tonight is one of the most deeply rooted American political traditions that has ever existed. The members of the organization were as fanatic in their zeal as their followers, present-day communists. This fanaticism was passed down from generation to generation, much like any other religion, for in fact it is a religion practiced behind closed doors in temples without windows. As a result, the Illuminist, Socialist, Communist creed was handed down from father to son, mother to daughter, and it became a tradition in many old American families in much the same manner as the traditional adherence of many of those families to the Masonic order, or the Presbyterian Church, or Catholicism. Most people belong to the religion that they attend because their parents did. Most people are Democrats because their parents were, and for no other reason. And you all know that. This explains the preponderance of its adherents on the present political scene. There is no difference between the Republican and Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., in the United States of America today. Not one nickel's worth of difference, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't matter who you vote for, they're all operating for the same end. World socialism. Franklin Roosevelt, a relative of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Teddy Roosevelt, wrote a book called Science of Government Founded on Natural Law. It is of high significance in American history because it is the cornerstone of this traditional creed. It was plagiarized from the teachings of Adam Weishaupt, with slight modification to adapt it to the American scene by his ranking American disciple, Roosevelt. It presents the organizational aspects of the conspiracy, and it is the original blueprint of the New Deal and its NRA, and I don't mean National Rifle Association. It is, ladies and gentlemen, indeed astonishing that a historical document of its importance and its background history has suffered so complete a blackout as to be practically unknown to contemporaries in whose lives it has played so large a part. Most Americans, unfortunately, do not read anymore. Instead, they watch the big brainwashing tool in the living room. Adam Weishaupt was the scion of a traditionally Catholic Bavarian family that ranked high in the church educational circle. He was trained by the Jesuits. Thanks to the influence of his family in Jesuit circles, Weishaupt was made professor of canon, which is church law, canon law, at the Ingolstadt High school at the age of 24 years. Now, in those days, ladies and gentlemen, high school was really university. At the age of 24 years, pretty young, wouldn't you say? In the course of his training, Weishaupt had conceived a paranoid hatred of the faith of his forebears. This led him to the insanely grandiose scheme of destroying the Catholic Church and of taking over the Holy Roman Empire and the world in a one-world absolute dictatorship, which he hoped would be dominated by himself. In fact, he planned that it would be, if he lived that long. But he taught that it might take hundreds of years in order to complete this conquest of the world, and he trained his followers and taught them a religion that even if they knew they would not see the completion of their goal in their lifetime, they would still struggle toward that end, believing that they would come back in another body, reincarnated, and will ultimately see the fruition of their great work, so to speak. On May the 1st, or May Day, of 1776, at the age of 28, Adam Weishaupt founded a secret society for the purpose of carrying out his revolutionary conspiracy. He named it the Order of Perfectibilists. Weishaupt pretended that his objective was a new social order and social security for the people that was to be obtained by perfecting human nature. It was, in fact, a humanist religion. The name of the organization he changed shortly after its founding to the Order of Illuminati, with the implication that its members were enlightened, free, or, quote, liberal, end quote. The term liberal has since then been reserved for those who accept Weishaupt's ideas, which he teaches to his followers will be the culmination of the great plan, after which the happiness of man will be assured, fulfilled. Weishaupt, you see, was a master propagandist and realized that liberal, as applied to his conspiracy, would become accepted because a lie repeated often enough comes to be believed. You see that happening every day. How many times did they repeat the same lie over and over and over again on the communist news networks? How many times did they do it after the bombing of the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City? For days and for weeks and for months, we heard the same lies over and over and over again until the majority of the sheeple in America believed it. It works. If you tell somebody the same lie over and over and over again, even though they know it is a lie, ultimately they will come to believe it. Or I should say most people will come to believe it, not all. But most are psychologically set up to fall right into it. The extent to which this was accomplished, ladies and gentlemen, is indicated by the fact that the day on which he founded the order, May Day, is celebrated throughout the world by liberals, radicals, revolutionaries, and labor organizations in recognition of the fact that it was the mother of all revolutionary organizations dedicated to class warfare in the modern era. You see, it was his idea to wipe out the ruling class. To wipe out the middle class. In fact, to bring society to one class and one class only, to eliminate the ownership of all property, and much, much more. Adam Weishaupt, in the modern day, was the father of socialism. Now, socialism was not new in his day, and he certainly did not invent it. It was the cause of the fall of the Roman Empire. Although you won't find anyone who tells you that, if you read history, that if you have a brain, you will arrive at that conclusion for yourself. Rome began as a republic, descended into oligarchy. From oligarchy rose dictatorship. The dictator then became God. The God, in order to appease his people, began to hand out favors and benefits. And to pay for these favors and benefits, the empire had to always be expanding into new territory to bring in new materials, new trade items, new slaves. And ultimately, it was the rampant degradation of the human condition brought about, as it always brings it about, socialism that brought down the Roman Empire. You can listen to them tell you that it was many of hundreds of other things, but it was socialism, ladies and gentlemen, that did it. Weishaupt pretended that his objective was a new social order and social security for the people that was to be attained by perfecting human nature. He was a master propagandist. The task that he set for himself was twofold. First, it was destroying the prevailing order. Second, was building up a worldwide dictatorship. The first task required the reduction of the peoples of the world to serfdom by inducing them, ladies and gentlemen, to renounce their allegiances and wealth, or by robbing them of their possessions and usurping power over them. To bring about renunciation of wealth, as in the rest of the conspiracy, Weishaupt unhesitatingly adopted the devices tried and proved by the very religions that he denounced and sought to destroy as rivals for the mastery of human minds. He proclaimed that, and I quote, "Man is fallen from a condition of liberty, equality, and the state of pure nature. Man is not bad except as he is made so by arbitrary morality. He is bad because religion, the state, and bad examples pervert him," end quote. He therefore required abandonment of all the trapping of civilization, the destruction of religion, of family life, and parental discipline, and of all existent governments, and that is what you see going on around you today. And he denounced ethics and morality as a violation of reason and natural law. If it feels good, do it. Yeah, I want to kill that person over there. Okay, it's a learning experience. You'll learn something, and the guy you killed is going to learn something too. And in the next life, the whole human race will benefit from that. He was a propagator of blathering bullshit, and that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. But so many people fall for this blather, this pablum, because it makes them feel good. It makes them not responsible. It makes all the measly little nitpicking, bad and puny, mean and selfish things that people do okay. And that's why people buy into it. He denounced ethics and morality as a violation of reason and natural law. Without man having to answer to a higher self and adhering to morals as a guidance of society, then everything becomes subjective, ladies and gentlemen, and is prey to the process of rationalization. The most heinous serial killer who butchered and then ate his victims could rationalize why he was right in doing so. Without the restraints of moral values, anything is okay in a subjective world. That is why our society is disintegrating. Because we are living in that subjective world brought about by liberals who adhere to Adam Weishaupt's teachings. He was a sick man. He created an order of sick people to bring about the condition of a sick world in order to divide and conquer those of a moral nature to bring about his totalitarian socialist world government, the enslavement of the human race. For after everything disintegrates into chaos, his order then will bring forth order. Amazing, isn't it? I'll continue right after this. Thank you. of the time, I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're brought to you by Swiss America Trading in Phoenix, the people who specialize in real money. In all of its various forms, precious metals have always been recognized throughout the history of the world as the only real money. And wherever that kind of a hard money system has existed, people have flourished. Trade has flourished. Civilization has reached its highest peak. Whenever paper has taken the place of real money, hard assets, real gold, real silver that has intrinsic worth in and of itself. When paper has replaced those things by masquerading as money, civilizations have declined or disappeared. People have lost their wealth. Wars have flourished and been fought. We are in one of those downward cycles, ladies and gentlemen. Our currency has been debased. Our coinage has been debased. We are not using constitutional, lawful money. In fact, we have no money at all. We have counterfeit paper, which is, in fact, just an indication that somebody owes somebody else something. But it's not a note, as it says. It's not a dollar, as it says. It's not federal, as it says. And there is no reserve. And the quickest way to figure it all out is just lay a $1 bill next to a $100 bill and tell me, why is that one worth $100 and the other one worth $1? Tell me. You cannot. It defies reason. You see, it's a state of mind. When we've reached the point where we're exchanging pieces of paper, and the only difference between them is the ink upon that paper, for things of value, we are being robbed, ladies and gentlemen. Because those pieces of paper are created out of thin air, as long as they do not have to have something of real substance backing them up, they can be printed and put into circulation at will, as much as they want. It's usually lent into circulation as credit or debt. And then when somebody can't make the payments, real property is confiscated as collateral, and so the nation is robbed of its real wealth, which is transferred into the hands of those who create the credit out of thin air with a bookkeeping entry. Most people don't understand it at all. And that's why I have pledged that at least once or twice a month, I will play Wake Up America by Stephen Jacobson to make sure that everyone at least has a chance to learn the truth about money. If you'd like to get your hands on some real money, and I suggest that you do, not as an investment to make a big killing, but just to protect the assets that you have gained throughout your working life. The value of gold and silver fluctuates as the value of the dollar fluctuates. And I'm talking about the paper so-called dollar, which is really not a dollar. It's counterfeit. As they put more of it in circulation, its value decreases and the value in gold and silver goes up. As less of it is in circulation, the value of it increases in your mind. It's all in your mind. And the minute that that becomes obvious to everyone, the value will disappear. Then the value of gold and silver goes up. So don't ever think for one second, even about the fluctuation of the value of gold and silver. It is maintaining a constant level of buying power based upon the confidence in that piece of paper. If the piece of paper falls, the price of gold and silver will go through the roof and you will lose nothing. Nothing. You see, 1 ounce of gold will still buy the same number of loaves of bread today as it did 1,000 years ago. Call 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-BUY-COIN. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time. Ask for the free newsletter. Do it now. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money, ladies and gentlemen. Don't procrastinate. Really. You need to do this. And you need to do it as quickly as you can. It is important. It's important for you and for your loved ones. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Don't know it because they haven't studied history, and those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. They're not aware that the same occultism, the same New Age babble that is occurring in America today and all over the world, was rampant in the 1930s as Hitler was rising to power. Hitler believed in the same religion as Adam Weishaupt. And he required that all of his officers of the SS go through a secret initiation at a castle placed upon a hill where they would become adepts. Hitler spoke of communing with spirit guides. He said that he had seen the new man and that he was intrepid and cruel. And under this religion, of course, he would be with no moral or ethical guidance whatsoever. Hitler displayed upon his flag and upon the uniforms of his officers and men the swastika, which is the symbol of this ancient religion, has always been, and is the symbol of the object of the exoteric worship of the enlightened, the sun, the eternal flame. The representation of the source of light, illumination, the Illuminati. Isn't that amazing? Many people who grew up in Germany as Hitler was coming to power, and even after he had gained power over Germany and had begun his war on the European continent, have called me and informed me that they see the same things happening in America that happened in Germany during that time. And we hear people telling, you know, on television and on radio about how if they had known, if they had watched the signs and had known what was coming, they could have stopped it. Yet the same thing is happening here today. Not only are they seeing it, but they are accepting it just as the Germans did then, because it sounds good and it feels good to these ninnies who don't want to be responsible for anything. Hitler was a socialist, ladies and gentlemen. Hitler was a liberal. Nazi. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it, and there or many who use both of those different forms, means literally National Socialist German Workers' Party. The battle for Germany in the 1930s was not left against right, ladies and gentlemen. It was socialism against communism. It was the Illuminists against Karl Marx. It's as simple as that. Never mind the fact that Illuminism always deteriorates into communism wherever they take charge. It is just a fact that you cannot descend into socialism without falling away ultimately into the communist experiment. Never mind the fact that it has never worked. But all of these things were the invention of the Illuminists to begin with in order to bring about their socialist world. Socialism is a form of entrapment. Enslavement, if you will. Euphemistic though it may be, it is still enslavement. When you live in your father's house and you accept his food and you accept the shelter, the roof over your head, and you sleep in his bed, you must obey his rules. Have you forgotten that? Whether it is your human biological father or whether it is Big Brother, the state, as your father. The rules are the same. Do you want to revert to a condition of childhood, or do you want to grow up and become an adult and be responsible? That's the difference, is responsibility, accepting the risks of the world in order that you might fulfill yourself and rise to the pinnacle of your ability with responsibility, paying for your mistakes, or whether you will accept the benevolence of Big Brother, who will take care of you, never allowing you to rise to any pinnacle whatsoever, for one must never gain more than any other in a socialist system. Neither will you be allowed to fail or starve yourself to death or anything else. All will be equal. And Big Daddy will make sure that all is equal. And that no one raises a ruckus or ruffles a feather or makes a wave. Adam Weishaupt abandoned all the trapping of civilization, the destruction of religion, of family life, and parental discipline, of all existing governments, and he denounced ethics and morality as a violation of reason and national law. I should say natural law. The stress on natural law as the basis of true science and human organization clearly stamps the Illuminist followers of Weishaupt, including Clinton Roosevelt. And that includes Thomas Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen. Read the Declaration of Independence and you will see the words of Adam Weishaupt echoed in that document. The real purpose of the secret destiny of America was to give the common man a taste of freedom so as to topple the kings and queens, emperors, emirs, and sultans from their thrones, so that this brotherhood of man could sow the seeds of revolution and bring about their world government. It is no secret in Washington, D.C., I can assure you. And that is why the Washington Monument is an obelisk. And that is why when you walk into the rotunda of the Capitol building and look straight up at the Capitol dome, you will see a huge painting called the Apotheosis of George Washington. It literally means George Washington became God. It displays him in the chariot as Apollo, riding across the heavens in the chariot of the sun. And all around this great painting is depicted the old Roman pantheon of gods. And everywhere I hear this babble about how our founding fathers were all wonderful Christian individuals. If you study the layout of Washington, D.C. from the air, you will see that it has all the symbology of the ancient mystery religion of the brotherhood everywhere. Weishaupt alleged that existent organized religions were not true religions. That is, Clinton Roosevelt repeats the function of true religion is, quote, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and make on earth peace and goodwill to man, end quote. Nothing wrong with that. For if there is someone in your community who is needy, it should be the church and the community that takes care of their fallen member. But not forever, ladies and gentlemen, only enough to get them on their feet and then push them back out into the world to make their own way. For that creates good citizens. Taking people and making them dependent upon the community or upon the church makes another lazy lout who sucks from the breast of the community and thus diminishes the welfare of all. Don't believe it? Look at the Great Society that President Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson, created in this country, where he took people who were working, people who had jobs. Poor they may be, they had the same opportunity as everyone else in this country to rise above that. That was in a day when Americans were not ashamed to wash dishes or bus tables or pick strawberries in fields to earn their living and thus maintain their self-respect and dignity. And that was when those same people taught their children manners and morals and ethics. And they said, yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you, and excuse me. Even in the poorest, most miserable community. Because they had self-worth. You will not find that in an inner-city welfare community, no matter the color or religion of the people who are on welfare. And it is wrong of you to display that as the characteristic of the black. Because there are more white people in this country on welfare than black people, and always have been, ladies and gentlemen, since the welfare system began. And that is the truth. Though you may not want to hear the truth, that's all you will ever get on this broadcast, is the truth. The hard truth. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. All of this stuff is designed to divide us and thus put us at each other's throats in order to conquer us. And it works well. As I look around and I see this Hegelian dialectic in action, I can see that it works well. Very well, in fact. This is the voice of freedom. Thank you. Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also heard over WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 9955 kilohertz, from 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. This is the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're listening to this afternoon is the culmination of many, many years of research by many, many people. Many, many people. People who are not content to sit on a couch and watch the boob tube and go to work and go down to Joe's Bar and suck up on Budweiser and then, see about finding a party every night of their life and flittering away the world. Sometime in our life, we awakened that something was terribly wrong, and we set out to find out what it was. That we were just as shocked as you, and we began to discover the answers. And the answers we have, ladies and gentlemen, though you may not wish to hear those answers, as long as you listen to this broadcast, you will. The function of providing social security, Weishaupt alleged, was not served by any religion and could be served only by his new religion, Illuminism. I bet you wondered where that term came from, social security. Wasn't that a con game? How many of you have caught on to the social security scam? You see, when my grandmother was young, she was presented with Social Security as the answer to poverty and old age. It was to free the elderly. It was to protect them from their own inability to put aside at least 10% of their income during their life so that they could have something to live on in their old age. Socialists understand full well human